would like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Light Post podcast, where we endeavor to cast light on God's word on the issues that impact our lives. Hey, I hope everyone's blessed. I hope these podcasts have been blessing you and your family. I hope it's something that you can take and give away and encourage somebody else in Christ to go toward that narrow road that leads to Christ. Hey, my name is Pastor Corey Davis, and the topic that I want to discuss today would be the importance of unity among the brethren. The importance of unity among the brethren. When you look at the current situation of our world today, what do you think are some key things that men must do in order to change their families, communities, churches, jobs, and society as a whole? We need each other to fulfill the mission that Christ has called us to as men. When we work together in unity, we are able to harness the power of the kingdom to do the work of ministry that we have been called to do. I'm going to read that again. When we work together in unity, we are able to harness the power of the kingdom to do the work of ministry that we've been called to do. Now, God has called each of us to do something. Everyone has been blessed with something. The Bible says to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, which means that we all have something that we can share that can bless the kingdom of God. They can bless people. And everybody's important. There's nobody that's in the kingdom of God that's not important, okay? We have been created in God's image and given divine authority. Somebody say, I've got divine authority. Since the beginning of time. Since Genesis 1:28, to reign. So we have authority to reign and bring God's kingdom to the earth. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring God's kingdom to the earth. He said in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're trying to bring heaven to earth. And how we do that is through speaking God's words, through being obedient, through doing what he's called us to do. And spreading the gospel, being a light that shines in the dark world. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. This is speaking of our divine potential. Genesis 1:26 reads, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let's look at Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God put Adam and Eve in the garden in the beginning and gave them authority, gave them power over everything that moved on the earth. And so we have that same power because God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to redeem us from the sins of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve messed up, when they ate up the forbidden fruit, God looked and sent his son through 42 generations so that we could be redeemed back to him. So we have that same authority. We have that same power. We have been created in God's image and in his likeness, which means that we can do what he do. We can do what he does and go forth and make disciples. Now, sometimes as men, we don't like to talk about our issues. And I'm going to kind of focus on men when I refer to brethren. We don't like to talk about issues. We don't like to talk about our problems. We try to do everything by ourselves. And oftentimes we suffer alone. You know, it's probably because of our male pride, our male ego. And oftentimes we have issues and we have problems and we really need to talk to somebody. But most of the time, a lot of men, they suffer alone. Have you ever seen men suffer like this? Have you ever encountered a situation where you were able to help someone? You saw them going through. You saw someone that was having a bad day, maybe on your job, maybe at the grocery store, maybe somebody that you just so maybe you're out walking, jogging, or doing something like that, and it looked like they were down, and you were able to stop and encourage them. How many of you know that a little encouragement from another brother goes a long way? Have you ever seen or been in a situation or experience something that you just wish somebody would have said, "Hey, how you doing today? Are you okay? You know, what can I do for you? Can I help you take care of anything? You need to talk? Is something going on with your family?" How many of you ever wish that you had somebody that would have just asked, that would have just encouraged you? But because they were always on their mind, as a minister says in our church, they couldn't even see what you were going through. They couldn't even see what situation you were in and how critical it was because they were thinking of themselves. So a little encouragement goes a long way. I want to share a testimony with you. My wife got sick Easter weekend. It was the Friday before Easter. She woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and she was having severe stomach pains. So the situation was so severe, I ended up taking her to the hospital and they did a couple of scans and did some blood work. And to make a long story short, they found out that she had gallstones in her gallbladder and ended up having to take her gallbladder out on Easter morning. And so I was thankful, you know, I prayed for her and the saints of God were praying for her. And the surgery was a success and she made a recovery, praise God. And the point I'm making is that while we were in the hospital, I had a lot of brothers calling, texting, emailing me, checking in on me to make sure everything was right, was okay and making sure I didn't need anything. And so that encouraged me in the Lord. The Bible says, you know, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. And so that little encouragement, those phone calls, those texts, those cards, some brothers in the church got together in the men's ministry and gave my wife a card. So it's just little sentiments like that that makes so much of a difference, you know, when people are going through. You know, we're called, as you know, in the body of Christ to go out and show love. The Bible says this is how they'll know that we're your disciples because you love one another. And so that encouraged me. And so likewise, we need to take that encouragement. We need to take that love and we need to give that away to other people when we see them going through, when we see them suffering, when we see them dealing with situations in life. Because one thing that's guaranteed in life is, and that's trouble. The Bible says that in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Jesus Christ was saying that, hey, I've been crucified. I've redeemed you. I've nailed your sins to the cross. You're going to have trouble, but take heart because I've given my life the ultimate sacrifice for your sins. You're going to be an overcomer. You're going to be an overcomer because I've overcome. I've nailed all your sins. I've given you victory over death, hell, and the grave. And you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. So let's look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. That's Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, for they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So let's look at these scriptures and kind of break them down a little bit. What can we gather from this? What can we pull? What can we glean? Number one, there is power in numbers. One can chase 1,000 and two 10,000 to flight. Two can put two 10,000 to flight. That's Deuteronomy 32 and 30. Number two, it is not good to be alone. Men mess up when they're alone. And so we need people to encourage us. We need people to be there for us. That's why God gave Eve to Adam. He said it wasn't good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper or give him a helpmate that's going to be comparable to him because he doesn't need to be alone. He needs companionship. And so men are like that too. We mess up alone. We need encouragement. We need brothers lifting us up, encouraging us, mentoring us, giving us good information, encouraging us in the Lord. So it's not good to be alone. Number three, and this is what we can gather from the scriptures that we just read. Number three, when we work together, we can help each other. I'm going to say that again. When we work together, we can help each other. That's synergy. Synergy is the combined power of a group of things when they are working together that is greater than the total power achieved by each working separately. And that's simply saying is that when we work together, we're more powerful than we are when we work as individuals. We can do more with five than we can do with one. And so we are stronger together. We have that synergetic power in the spirit when we come together as brothers and not just think about ourselves, and we can do more. So let's look at verse 12 again. It says, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. If I gave you a threefold cord like a rope and asked you to break it, unless you're some kind of superhero or action hero or some kind of mutant or something like that, and I'm kidding, you wouldn't be able to break it. Because a rope or threefold cord strength resides in each strand working together, depending on the other strand for the overall strength of the work of the rope. So each strand has a job to do. Each strand becomes a helper one to the other so that the threefold cord has strength to endure, strength to hold whatever load is holding, to tie down things, to hold up things that weigh a whole lot. When you tie down ropes and stuff, it's to keep things from moving. So the strength resides in the individual strands of the cord. Likewise, we as brothers in Christ must work harmoniously together by pooling our strength and resources in order to accomplish the kingdom mission. Brothers, when we come together, we are like that threefold cord that's not easily broken. Two is better than one. Two have a good reward, a good return. So we're stronger when we're together. I want to read a quote here. It's a quote by Maddie Stepanek, who was a famous American poet. That's Maddie Stepanek, who was a famous American poet. It says, unity is strength. When there is teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. So when we come together as a team, we can do greater things than the individual. Let's look at Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. That's Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. Famous scripture, familiar scripture. Everybody should know this. Psalms 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion running down on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord bestowed his blessings, even love evermore. Let me go back and read that. Verse 2 says, it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Verse 3 says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded his blessing, life evermore. So here unity is compared to the anointing oil. It consecrates, it dedicates, and the anointing oil empowers us. So the anointing oil that consecrated Aaron as the high priest, it didn't just flow to the end of his garments, but to all the tribes of Israel. It also speaks of the vast mountain ranges that symbolizes the power of unified brethren. So when we think about the anointing oil, or unity rather, it's like the oil that flowed from Aaron's head to his beard to the uttermost parts of his garment. which means that whenever we're together as brothers, there's an anointing, there's a synergy in the spirit, there's a power from on high that manifests and flows to each of us as brothers. And so, you know, we've been saying that we're stronger together. So when we're unified in Christ, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing a person can do or anything that the enemy can do that can stop you, because you're unified. You're one. Just like Pentecost, the Bible said that they were in the upper room and the power of the Holy Spirit came as clothing tongues of fire and set on each of them because they were unified. They were together. They were one. The Bible said they continued in prayer. They had one mind and they were on one accord, and the power of God manifested in a way that all of them were blessed. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm also reminded of the Tower of Babel. You know, they were together and they were going to build a tower. They're going to reach to God. And God had to confuse their language because they were going to reach heaven because they were of one mind. They were of one language. They had one goal, and that was to build a tower to reach to God. So God had to confuse their language. So unity is powerful. When we come together, I said this earlier, there's a flow of power. There's an anointing. So what is unity? Unity is defined as a unit, united, alike, a state of oneness or togetherness, also consensus, unison, or union. Unity is like the military when they march, wear their uniforms, call cadence, fight in battle, deploy. They do it in a unified force or as a unified force, and as brothers in the body of Christ, we must do the same thing and walk in unity. Just like the military goes forth, they do it as a unified force. They go as one. They look alike. They march together. They're in cadence. They're in step. The same thing goes for the church and for the brothers in the body of Christ. We've got to be together so that we can experience the power of God on our lives. 1 Corinthians 1:10. We're going to look at that. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So we're in the season in the body of Christ that we need men to stand up, to be leaders, and to encourage each other in the body of Christ. We need men to stand up and be leaders in their communities, to be leaders on their jobs, in their households, and wherever they go. When people see strong men in place, the devil has to go. The devil has to run, because we are standing in our roles. We're standing in what God has created us to be leaders. Even as Adam was a leader over Eve, and he was the person of authority that taught Eve, and whatever she learned from Adam, because God called Adam to be a leader and God called Eve to be his helper. And as both of them fulfilled their roles that God had gave them, they were blessed. God had already blessed them in Genesis 1:26, Genesis 1:28, and gave them a divine potential from on high to go forth and be victorious. So that same blessing we have on us, when we fulfill our role as men, there's a blessing that comes in our house. There's a blessing that can come in our communities. There's a blessing that can come in our state and in our nation and in our world if men stick together. When we see all the chaos, when we see all the fighting, when we see all the disarray of our kids and our communities and drugs and all of these things and gang violence, it's because there are not men standing up in their rightful role. And so we need to reverse that and just stand up and be of one mind. It says here in 1 Corinthians 1:10, be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So we got to walk together, even as the army does when they go out, so that we can go and take the kingdom of heaven by violence, you know, violently. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. So I meant to say that we are going to go forth and take things by force. We're not going to ask for the things that are already ours. God has already gave us the kingdom. The Bible says it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so God wants to give us all things, and he's put all things under our feet. And so we've got to believe that as the men of God. Let's look at Hebrews 10:24. We're almost done. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I'm going to read that again. That was NIV. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. It says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. So let's look at the word spur. I like to study words. The word spur, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And a lot of times you hear that, but you really don't consider what spur actually means. The word spur is not passive. It means to stir up, to anger, to provoke, provocation, irritation, and stimulation. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time somebody irritated you and provoked you in the Lord? Can you remember? Or were they just saying little words like, it's going to be okay. Yeah, it's going to be all right. Yeah, just lay back and just let whatever happens happen. No. The word spur one another on toward good works means that when you see your brother that may be falling short in love, give him good information so that he can line up with the word of God and be victorious. So sometimes you have to provoke people. Sometimes you have to stir them up in love, not, you know, beat them up, because God hasn't called us to that. He says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. And so we have to give them good information, and good information is the word of God, just like the word of God says. That's what we use. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways. So this spur, let's talk a little bit more about it. The spur is like a cowboy's boot. You ever seen the little spur on the end of the cowboy's boot? They use that. It irritates the horse. Sometimes you see them, you know, kind of kick the side of the horse. It irritates the horse. It cuts him. Sometimes even draws blood. But it gets him going in the right direction. And so that's what the spurring of the brothers is all about. We give them good information. We give them the word of God. We give them the things that equip them, the tools that equip them to be the kingdom men that submits to God's authority that he has given them as men to be the kingdom man that God has called us to, because we have an assignment, man. We have a call. We should have a sense of urgency to be everything God has called us to be. In our lives, you know, in our own lives and in our families and in the church, so that we can bring about change and shift our world. Each of you has a gift and a call to ministry that is extremely, extremely important to the body of Christ. And I said that earlier, everyone has something to offer the body of Christ. God has given everyone something. And when you use that, the world is a better place when you use what God has given you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, now to each one, the manifestation. The manifestation, this word means the ability to shine, to light up, to appear, or to be visible, to illuminate. So to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You have been given a gift, and that gift is for you to shine, to light up this sin-torn world, to be visible, to be a light that shines in a dark world, to illuminate your environment, your rooms that you go into, your communities, your job, whatever you do, there's a manifestation. There's a flow of oil that Psalms 133 talks about when we are unified with other brothers. Two is better than one. So if two are better than one, what do you think happens when brothers try to operate by themselves and handle all of their problems alone? Because that's what we as men do. You know, we're trying to handle everything. I'm the man. So when you try to operate as an individual, you do not connect yourself with other and you do not connect yourself with other godly brothers and have a ministry covering, you're like a frayed rope waiting to break and like a lone gazelle that leaves the safety of the pack while being chased by a lion. This is because two is better than one. That comes from Ephesians 4 and 9. You have to stay connected, brothers. You have to stay connected to that vine. Jesus is the vine, and you must stay connected to other brothers that are in Christ, because when you're alone, the enemy will signal you out and take you out. And that's how he works. That's how he did Adam and Eve. He manipulated them. He came against the word of God. He manipulated their senses and what they heard and what they saw and caused them to miss the mark. I used to work in a chemical plant many years ago, and we had backup pumps in case the main pump went out. Also in the computer world, you have backup servers. You know, that's the thing, that computer that keeps all the information on there for your agency or organization or business. So we had backup servers that would automatically come online when the primary server went down, which means that if your computer went down, the main one, then we had another one that would just automatically come online. And the reason for this is so that you have redundancy, and so your whole operation doesn't go down because something fails. Once again, two is better than one, brothers. If you go down, you got a brother that can lift you up. And remember, the early church was a community of believers. The Bible says they devoted themselves. This is Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and prayer. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The unified church caused others to be saved because they were together and they had a genuine concern for one another. There was so much power in the other church from the brethren working together in unity. Souls were saved and the favor of God was upon them, and they did great works. So what is your gift for? You may ask yourself, why did God bless me with a gift? Let's look at 1 Peter 4:10. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. Remember, two is better than one. The gift you have is to be given away to others. It says here, you received a gift to serve others as faithful stewards. The Bible says one thing is required of a steward, and that's that one be found faithful. Remember, give yourself to others so that they can be blessed. I hope this podcast was a blessing to you. I hope it was something that you can hold on to, and go and teach others. Go out and do the work of an evangelist. The importance of unity among the brethren. Where there is unity, brothers, there is strength. Be encouraged. Like to thank you again for joining us on another episode of the Light Post Podcast. This is a ministry of the Guide and Light Church. For other messages and resources, connect with us online at guideandlight.org, the Guide and Light Church on Facebook, or Guide and Light Church TV on YouTube. We have some awesome messages from different pastors and different resources that are out there. Please check us out and be blessed. I hope to see you the next time on another episode of the Light Post Podcast.